All right, so one of my biggest concerns, climate change, and it's really sad to see what's happening and happening quickly within the Trump administration. Trump he campaigned on on climate denial. I mean, he was pretty clear that it's a hoax, and he promised to reverse federal policies that address climate change, and he has delivered on that. I guess he gets credit for delivering on his campaign promises. But a lot of experts, a lot of people who are really involved with climate science have been absolutely blown away by how quickly this has happened and how severe a lot of these protections against greenhouse gases, against environmental contaminants, how quickly all of that has moved under the Trump administration. So there's a report in the New York Times, and I didn't read it. I listened to it, but it was just looking at what seems like. I mean, their argument was, this seems like it's happened really, really fast, with the most recent decision last week to kind of do away with the requirement that that greenhouse gas emissions even be considered. But they point out that a lot of this stuff was being worked on, behind the scenes for a long time by people who are just in the pocket of industry. One of those is Russell Vought, who's again no, very intricately involved with the Trump administration. Another guy, Jeffrey Clark, and then another couple of people who are less well known, Mandy Gunasekera. Having a hard time with that name, and Jonathan Brightbill. They're attorneys, and they've got they've been on the side of big oil for a long time. They've been fighting against policies that try to protect us from climate change, and they brought a whole bunch of information and expertise and and allies to this fight to help make sure that Trump could effectively accomplish this repeal of any effort to address climate change. And again, I think it was Mandy Gunasekera. Again, I'm doing my best I can with that name. I think she's one of the people who wrote the climate element of the Project 2025 Heritage Foundation's blueprint for how the Trump administration should move forward. So The Guardian writes, quote, "The world is closer than previously thought to a point of no return, after which runaway global heating cannot be stopped," scientists have said. "Continued global heating could trigger climate tipping points, leading to a cascade of further tipping points and feedback loops," they said. "This would lock the world into a new and hellish hothouse Earth climate, far worse than the 2 to 3 degrees centigrade temperature rise the world is on track to reach." So, yeah, it's a bad situation, folks. And I don't know. I would guess that a majority of Americans, when presented with this information, when challenged to really look at the facts, would side with the 97% of scientists who say that, yeah, we are in big trouble, and who would then say, yeah, these policy changes by the Trump administration are wrong. I would like to believe that. All right, I want to move on to something a little less existential and maybe a tad bit entertaining. The bridge paid for by Canada. I mean, we were supposed to get Mexico to pay for the wall. Well, we didn't, but Canada did pay for the bridge from Windsor, Ontario to Detroit in Michigan. And the bridge is pretty much done. It was named after Gordie Howe. And if you don't know who Gordie Howe is, then you're not a hockey fan. But Gordie Howe is a pretty sensational hockey player and and Canadian. But the bridge, totally paid for by Canada, is now being prevented from opening by Trump because a buddy of his, a billionaire by the name of Manuel Morone, don't know the guy. Well, actually, he died a few years back, but the bridge is still privately owned. The current bridge is privately owned and is a toll bridge. And I can't remember who owns it now. I think someone in his family still owns it. And it's now, it carries a huge amount of traffic, and it's a toll bridge. And the guy, they make a lot of money at it. So being buddies with Trump, you know, what does he do? He shuts down a bridge that would not, that didn't cost the U.S. anything. That would be an alternative. I understand that there would be, it would probably mean a lost revenue to the private bridge owners. But how many roads in this country are privately owned? You know, not many. Why is this privately owned bridge even exist? Okay, come on. I mean, this is so transparently billionaires helping billionaires that it does, it's almost comical. I said almost. All right, so if you're among the decreasing percentage of Americans who are not sympathetic with the families being devastated by ICE deportations, maybe another story about an Irishman being nabbed by ICE might help. Maybe you can relate to that better. I mean, I'm Irish-American, but I can relate to all these. There are some legitimate detentions and deportations. I get that. I would say that none of the conditions in which people are being detained are legitimate. They're terrible. We'll talk about that in a bit. But this guy, Seamus Culleton, he's got a valid U.S. work permit. He's married to an American. He runs a plastering business. He's been in the U.S. for, what, 20 years, I think? And he committed a minor drug offense in Ireland. But in his 2 decades of being in the U.S., he's had a perfect record. Not even a speeding ticket. No criminal record at all. And yet, for 5 months, he's been in this prison in Texas, a detention center in Texas. He says there are 72 detainees in the prison. He says, we have barely any outside time. We have no fresh air, no sunshine. There are 2 TVs on the wall. We get 3 meals a day, very, very small meals, kid-sized meals, so everybody is hungry. Culleton called the conditions filthy and said the toilets and showers are completely nasty and very rarely cleaned. So if for some reason you can't find it in your heart to be concerned about the black and brown people being swept up in ICE raids, maybe this Irish guy can move you to be concerned. I mean, the conditions he's describing are appalling. It is absolutely incredible that the Trump administration is even getting away with this. All right, so maybe some people don't know this, but Donald Trump received 48% of the Hispanic vote in 2024. That's almost half the Hispanic vote. That was more than any Republican presidential candidate has ever received. And that was up from the 36% that he received in 2020. So, you know, I guess most people might even be surprised that given Trump's anti-immigration rhetoric, that even 36% of Latinos would support him. But, well, it went up to 48% in 2024. But it has taken a big hit. I don't know the exact numbers in front of me here. But the most recent culmination, the most recent problem for Donald Trump relevant to his Latino base was his response to Bad Bunny's Super Bowl halftime show. Don't know how many of you watched it. I did. I was rooting for the Patriots too, but I was also rooting for Bad Bunny. I'd never heard it before. I thought it was pretty amazing performance, honestly. And Donald Trump he blew it when it came to how he responded to the halftime show, because most people loved it. Even a lot of his supporters loved it. And his response has alarmed some of his Hispanic strategists, some Republicans that support him, some political and business leaders, you know, in the Republican camp, who are warning him that that this kind of anti-Latino rhetoric, you're going to see further erosion of support among Latino voters. And again, it's already dropped quite a bit from the 48% that he received on Election Day in 2024. I don't know where this is going, but I don't imagine that the way the administration has handled deportations has been gaining much support with Latinos either. All right, so switching gears again here. I'm all over the place, folks. beef from Argentina. Iowa farmers in particular, and I think ranchers across the country, are pretty upset about this deal to import, 80,000 additional tons of lean beef trimmings from Argentina. This is not being received well by farmers here in the Midwest. Berlene Wobiter, she farms in Tama County, Iowa, involved with the Iowa Farmers Union, and said that it's crazy that the president would put the interest of Argentina beef producers ahead of American farmers and ranchers. She said, why doesn't the president trust American farmers and ranchers? Great question. Yeah, quote, we've been raising cattle for over 40 years. There are boom and bust cycles that we've had to navigate. There are lots of reasons the U.S. cattle herd is reduced and beef prices are high right now. We don't need to be, you know, abandoning the U.S. market and importing it from Argentina. If we're having trouble right now producing beef, it's just going to make it worse if 80,000, you know, metric tons of lean beef are coming from a foreign country. Anyway, back to the Super Bowl. Do you see all the AI ads? God, AI was all over it. And I heard that, from what I read, it cost $8 million to buy a 30-second ad. Well, I think probably the worst use of $8 million I've ever seen was an AI ad by Ring involving a lost dog. I'll play it for you.
This is Milo.
Pets are family. But every year, 10 million go missing. And the way we look for them hasn't changed in years. Until now. One post of a dog's photo in the Ring app starts outdoor cameras looking for a match. Search Party from Ring uses AI to help families find lost dogs. Since launch, more than a dog a day has been reunited with their family.
Be a hero in your neighborhood with Search Party. Available to everyone for free right now. Join the neighborhood at ring.com.
So, pretty slick. Maybe didn't catch your attention, but a lot of people were really upset about that. Wait a minute. What are we getting going on here? What is this surveillance? You know, cameras all over the neighborhood, all over the community are going to be looking for this dog. What else can they look for? You know, what else can we, you know, and it's hard to know where that's going to go, but it's a whole nother level of surveillance. And it may be why Ring, which is a product of Amazon, ended its partnership, or at its partnership with Flock Safety ended. Flock Safety is, again, they make cameras for reading license plates that allow law enforcement to request video footage from users for investigations. So this is a whole nother level of the surveillance universe. And the backlash against this ad was so severe, according to a one story I read about it, that some users disabled, destroyed, or sold their devices in protest. So, you know, I'm going to call this good news that a big company lost $8 million on a Super Bowl ad trying to promote surveillance and using a cute little dog to do it. Okay, one other piece of good news. Corteva, that's a U.S. chemical company, they are now discontinuing production of a herbicide called Enlist Duo. It contains Agent Orange and glyphosate, and both of those are linked to cancer. So, and the reason they're ending this, the production of it, is because after a decade of pressure, you know, campaigns from the public, from scientists, from others, they finally realized, hey, we're actually losing more money by keeping this. So, good. I wonder why it took so long.